It's good to see you in the house of the Lord this evening. If you will, take a hymnal, turn to page number 120. Page 120, let's everyone stand, choir stand with me. Let's sing together, Victory in Jesus. Amen. Church, you can be seated. Choir, remain standing with me. Turn over to page number 393, and let's sing the first and the last of When We All Get to Heaven. All right, choir, church, let's sing. Sing the wondrous love. Evening, and we thank you for making Calvary your place of worship tonight. If you're visiting with us, you are our special guest. We thank you for choosing Calvary, and we just pray that the Lord would bless us all this evening. I'm looking forward to hearing what the Lord has for us tonight. Aren't you? What a great message we heard this morning, and I appreciate the moving of the Holy Spirit. I'm sure you do as well. But let's go to Him in a word of prayer. Please remember all of the announcements, all of the different things that are coming up. I'd never be able to remember them all, so the best thing to do is either go online or get a copy down front. There will be one in the back as well with all the announcements, prayer requests, and all of that. So please go ahead and get that. I'm sure Pastor will catch us up on a few things here in a few moments. But please don't forget about the 17th of December. That is right around the corner, just several weeks away here. And we really need your prayers as the choir tries to put together our program for this year. We're very excited about it. A lot of work. We were here this afternoon working on it. And we have a lot of work to come. So if you would just please remember us in prayer. For we want to give our best to the Lord. Amen. I shared with the choir my heart this morning. I said, you know, what if this were the last opportunity that we had to share the gospel, the virgin birth, how Jesus came to live and to die for us? What if this was the last year that we ever had an opportunity to do that? Let's give Him our very best because He's worthy. Amen. And I know that you would feel the same way, so please pray. We just want to do our best for the Lord because He is worthy. But let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer tonight and ask God's blessing on the service. Pray for pastors, he brings our message. Ask God's blessing on the offering. Brother Don, would you lead us this way?
Thank you. yet his eyes were watching me. And the anchor holds.
Oh, there's living
anchor. The anchor holds. Sails are torn. I have be torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging sea.
But
the storm. I have
singing tonight, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The anchor holds. The only way to know that the anchor holds, either, number one, you read about it in the Bible, how Jesus takes care of us, but then you learn that the anchor holds through stormy times. You learn by experience. And I can say that I know the anchor holds. The Lord is the only reason I have my sanity tonight. And I'm sure He's the reason you have your sanity tonight. But it's good to be here. Wanted to just call attention to our visiting missionaries tonight, the Rain family from Africa. What specific spot is that, brother? Kenya, East Africa. So good to have you with us, you and your wife. And Calvary's been supporting them for a number of years, and it's just a blessing to have missionaries drop in from time to time. Isn't that right, Brother Don, Miss Carla? Good to have missionaries with us, and good to be here tonight. If you would, just before we turn to our text tonight, remember our friend Ricky in your prayers. He's going tomorrow for surgery, and he's having a mass removed from his liver. And so he would appreciate those prayers. Been visiting with us for some time now. Of course, we got, as Brother Allen mentioned a moment ago, we have a whole list of people. Just pick up a bulletin. But do remember Miss Claudia for her biopsy on Thursday. She's concerned about this. And of course, Miss Mary Kelly's niece, who has cancer. Is her surgery this week? On the 5th. Right. And then, so remember that. And then, of course, Brother Don Rich, his results on the 4th. Maybe even getting some news tomorrow. So we'll see about that. And please continue to remember Jeff Hodges' brother and their family in the passing of Miss Angie. Brother Jeff is down there in Panama City right now. Again, I just want to call attention to our Calvary Baptist Church Tree of Remembrance in the back. Please feel free to get an ornament, purchase an ornament, and you can place it on the tree for someone who has passed, went on to be with the Lord, and their remembrance. That would be great if you participate in that. It's a great time. It's also a time of, it can be a time of healing as well. And so do that if you would like to. And we'll be bringing more announcements concerning the month of December here very soon. And as Brother Allen mentioned a moment ago, on the 17th, at 6 o'clock will be our Christmas program. All right, the book of Genesis tonight. Genesis, chapter number 37. Genesis, chapter number 37. And got plenty of preaching time, so we should be out of here right on time. And Genesis chapter number 37. In just a moment, I want to read verse number 31 down through verse number 35. Genesis 37. In just a moment, verse number 31 through 35, I do want to bow for a quick word of prayer. And then I want to summarize what's taking place here in Genesis 37. Father, we come in Jesus' name one more time, asking you, Lord, to help us rightly divide your word. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll communicate the truth of your word to the hearts of those that are listening tonight. May we all be encouraged, challenged, and changed by the time that we leave. And Father, we just thank you in advance for what you're going to do tonight during the message time. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. We pray with thanksgiving in our heart. Amen and amen. Genesis chapter 37 is the account of a young man by the name of Joseph. Many of you have heard this story, I'm sure, many, many times. But we know that Joseph was the beloved child. And we know that Joseph had a coat of many colors given to him by his father. And we know that Joseph was a man who dreamed. Joseph dreamed dreams. And we know that the contents of his dreams, it had a lot to do with his supremacy and his brothers bowing to him, and even his father and mother. And so we know that not only did they not like Joseph because he was beloved by the father more than they were, but when he started sharing his dreams, he was hated yet the more. We know that his brothers, they conspired a plan against him. Everyone but Reuben said, come on now, let's kill our brother. Let's kill him and throw him in a pit. Verse 20 says so. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say some evil beast hath devoured him. We shall see what will come of his dreams. They were truly dream killers. And don't you know that whenever you go to share an aspiration, a dream with somebody, you've got to be careful for the naysayers out there. There's a lot of dream killers. Sometimes we share as people of God and just people dreams that we have, aspirations that we have that maybe we feel God has placed in our heart. And to someone else it may seem unreachable or unattainable. And so there are a lot of people who encourage and thank God for those who do encourage, but shame on them for those who discourage. There's a lot of dream killers tonight, but that's not the message. And we know that Reuben said, no, let's don't kill him. Let's just throw him in the pit alive. Verse 22, and Reuben said unto them, shed no blood. Shed no blood. But cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. Just throw him in the pit, but don't kill him so that he can live and go back to father later. And so we know that at this time, there was some Ishmaelites who came through while Joseph was in the pit. And verse 27 says, come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. So Joseph not only was hated by his brethren, thrown in a pit, but now sold into slavery. And so Joseph is really going through the ringer, being the beloved of the father. And so this is where I want to pick up tonight, verse number 31. We have Joseph sold into slavery, but his brothers do something with his coat. And that's what I'm interested in tonight. Notice, if you would, verse number 31. And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors. They brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he said it, and he knew it, and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my father, unto my son, mourning. Thus his father wept for him. That's reading verse number 31 down through verse number 35 of Genesis 37. And I want to call your attention tonight to verse number 31. This is what they did with his coat. The Bible says in that latter part that they dipped the coat in the blood. Tonight, with the help of the Lord, I want to preach for a few moments on this subject. Bloody coats. Bloody coats. Or Joseph's bloody coat. This bloody coat tonight was dipped in blood, and then it was taken to Jacob the father. And of course, his father thought that Joseph was dead. That's the picture that the brothers wanted to portray, that Joseph is out of the picture, he's dead. And of course, Jacob believed this. And Jacob, as we'll get into in just a moment, he was mourning and he was grieving the loss of his son, because that coat that he once gave him and wrapped him in, that he made, handmade by his own hands, now he sees it covered in blood. My son is dead. You know, sometimes in life, circumstances are deceiving, aren't they? We're faced sometimes with challenges that tell us it's all over. We're done. We began to sink in despair if we're not careful. We play it out in our head and feel our situation is hopeless. The devil is a master deceiver tonight. He has a way of painting a very bad picture, and sometimes it is truly believable if we're not careful and grounded in the faith. So his brothers had this bloody coat, and Jacob was falling apart, but it really didn't ever happen. Joseph was not dead. Joseph was alive. But nonetheless, Jacob felt so discouraged and depressed. For a few moments tonight, I want to share just a few things concerning this bloody coat and Jacob and Joseph. And I want to do my best to apply it to our lives, and I hope that it'll be an encouragement and a help and a challenge. Number one, here in chapter 37, verse number 3, we see one loved individual. One loved individual. We see that Jacob loved Joseph more than the others. Look at verse number 3. Now Israel, or Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And we see that he was the beloved son. He was one loved individual. And the Bible says, because he was the son of his old age. He was his late son, his youngest son. And so Jacob just loved all over him. This isn't right, but this was Jacob, and we know we're not to show favoritism, especially when you have children. You can't favor one and hate the other, or like the one less and love one more so. But that's what we have here. Jacob loved Joseph, and he loved him so much that he grabbed his materials and started to sew together, stitch together this coat of many colors. And this spoke of his love for his son. It spoke of his sonship having this great father. And so he covered him in this coat of many colors. Joseph had dreams, again, of supremacy. His brothers hated this dream. And also his father at first rebuked Joseph because of this dream. Notice, if you would, in verse number 9 and 10. Verse number 9 says, "And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him." The father that loved him rebuked him. There is a time and place to rebuke your children. You know that. Even those who were perfect in those who do no wrong, our sinless children, there is a time and place to rebuke them.
So he rebuked him, the Bible says, and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. So his brethren hated him, envied him. His father rebuked him, but then his father almost kind of backed up and said, hold on, let me think about this again. This is my beloved son, and he is sharing something from his heart. I'm going to listen to his dream. I'm going to listen to what he has to say and see if it pans out or not. And so Joseph had this dream, and his brothers hated his father, rebuked, but then his father, the Bible says in verse 11, observed the saying. That word observed means to dwell on. He didn't just say, Joseph, there's no way that's going to happen. Joseph, you were just not suitable for such a position as me and your mother and brothers bowing to you. Who are you, Joseph? But he actually started to dwell on it. It may come to pass. He dwelt on this. And so that tells me that he must have had some kind of faith in Joseph, because he didn't cut him and his dream completely off. Keep in mind, our first point is that we have one loved individual, and Jacob loved him more than his brethren, made him the coat. And now he's starting to think about his dream. He is being a supporter in some fashions of his dream. We know we need to support our kids and their dreams and aspirations. That's just what a father and mother does. And so we see that here in Jacob. In the end, Joseph's sons, he went on to have children of his own, they were blessed by Jacob, adopting them as his sons, desiring that they would carry on the patriarchal torch, so to speak. This was Ephraim and Manasseh, the sons of Joseph. Jacob blessed them. And so no doubt tonight, Joseph was one loved individual. And no doubt when we compare this to our lives, that there are people in our lives that we love. There are things in our life that we love, places we love. And the things that we love, we invest in. Whether it's a person, whether it's a place, whether it's a thing, if we truly love it, we spend time doing it. We invest our time in it because we love it. You spend time with your spouse because you love your spouse. You spend time with your kids because you love your kids. You maybe, I don't know, maybe an entrepreneur, so to speak, may have your own business or work for some type of company where you invested much. You've invested your life into it. You've done that because you love it, or you wouldn't be doing it. So we invest in the things we love, whether they're people, places, or things. We hope in the things we love. We want the things that we love to blossom and grow and become of something. That's what we have tonight. We have one loved individual. Let me go a step further. Not only do we have one loved individual, but number two tonight, we have one lie that was terrible. One lie that was terrible. Verse number 31, chapter 37. Notice once again. And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. The brothers dipped the jacket, the coat, in the blood and said Joseph was dead. He was dead. Dad, Joseph is dead. The thing that you love, the thing that you invested in. I kind of see him sarcastically, you know. The thing that you love, the thing that you invested in. Dad, he's dead. Look, an animal must have got him, rent him into pieces. What was Jacob's reaction? Verse number 33, look at this. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Listen to this. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. Those two words, without doubt, is an emphatic statement saying that without a doubt, without any hesitation, I know he's dead. And that's what Jacob said, based off of what the kid said. How many times in life does the devil get on your shoulder? The devil get on my shoulder and says, your life is over, big boy. That dream is dead. Oh, you sin too much. God will not continue to be patient with you, forgive you. The thing that you're trying to prop up in life and make much to do about, it's dead. It's over. The devil can paint an ugly picture sometimes, can he? We see that Jacob says, without a doubt. Many times when we're battling Satan in the flesh and the world, it's so real sometimes it feels like when these attacks are coming and he paints this outcome where we feel like, well, we're going to lose a loved one here or this is going to fall apart. That dream is going to sink. And we can almost say, without a doubt, it's going to happen. Has anybody ever been there before? Believing the convincing lies of the devil. Jacob said, without a doubt, he is dead. Emphatic statement. Look at verse 34. Jacob experienced mourning. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. So we have Jacob, and he's bottled up. He's sad. He don't know what to think. He just, rah! The moment you experience tragedy and great loss, people have a tendency of expressing that. Some just have an emotional breakdown. Others experience this great wailing. And I can't remember who it was. Talked to someone not long ago, and they said when they found out that so-and-so died, they just dropped to their feet and they were just wailing and lamenting. Jacob, hearing that his son was dead and he knew it without a doubt, just ripped his clothes, ripped his mantle in frustration and in mourning. He lamented. Great loss. He mourned for his son many days. Can I say that those many days that Jacob lamented over his dead son, he was not getting those days back. He was not getting that time back. And while he didn't know any better, but the truth of the matter is, his son wasn't dead. His son was alive. And here Jacob was mourning and wailing and lamenting, using up his days, discouraged and depressed, not getting those times back. How many times do we spend our days mourning things that we feel is gone? We spend our days depressed, feeling like we can never amount to anything, or we can never exceed at what God wants us to do, because the devil has said, you're not able. There's no way that you can do that. There's no way that you could go and be a missionary. There's no way that you could go and preach. There's no way that you can lead a Sunday school class. There's no way that you could go back to school. There's no way that you could graduate high school. How many times do we believe that? And we sink in despair. These are days, church, we're not getting back. Don't believe the lies of the devil. Everybody do this time. You're alive. You're breathing. Satan has told someone you cannot regain your life, but you're here tonight. You're breathing and you're alive, and as long as you're alive, there's a possibility that you can do great and mighty things through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. Don't believe the lies of the devil. My goodness, if I would have believed him when I first got saved. After I got saved, if I believed the lies he was telling me at that time and never even tried to walk the walk, I probably would have never really got hooked up good in church and that foundation laid in my life with Bible and prayer. Devil tried to tell me right off the bat, 21 years ago, you can't live this life, Justin. you can't live the Christian life. You can't, man, you gotta walk in sobriety. You can't go to parties anymore. Well, I said to Mr. Devil, I don't even want to go to parties anymore. I said, Mr. Devil, I don't even want to get high anymore. And so he, and listen, we believe these lies sometimes and we buy into it. We spend our days, just using that for an illustration, we spend our days mourning. Don't believe the lies of the devil. Jacob experienced many days of mourning that he was not getting back. Don't spend another day dwelling on the negative. Don't spend another day believing that lie that you can't get beyond where you're at. Because according to the Bible, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. According to the Bible, he that which hath begun a good work in me will perform it into the day of Jesus Christ. According to the Bible, he has not stopped working on me since I've been saved, and he will continue to. So it doesn't matter if I fall, if I falter, if I fumble, I fail. I get back up, say, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you for your righteousness. I repent, of course, but move forward. Y'all in on this tonight? I'm enjoying it better than this morning. One terrible lie. Verse 35, Jacob says, life will never be the same again. Verse 35, and all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Jacob said, my life will never be the same since my son died. Without a doubt, he's dead. And listen, he wasn't dead. But speak it to those who have lost children. Speak it to those who have suffered loss of death of some kind in your family. Life will never be the same. And so we are definitely not going there with that. We are sympathetic and empathetic to you on that. But Joseph was alive. He wasn't dead. And he says, I'm going to mourn my way to the grave. My life will never be the same. Some of you maybe have made bad choices or maybe have had missed opportunities, being somewhere you shouldn't be when you should have been somewhere else. Or some of you, I don't know, just maybe experiencing some kind of calamity, some kind of situation. You missed it. Time is running out. You feel, oh, life will never be the same. I'm just going to go to my grave this way. Nothing will ever change. Again, the message we're trying to get across is don't believe those bloody coats. No matter how often Satan tries to shake a bloody coat in front of you saying, see, it's over. You're going to go to the grave this way. You're never going to have victory in your life. You're never going to overcome this sin. You're never going to be the dad you want to be, the husband you want to be. You're going to keep on failing. Bloody coat. Wait a minute, Jacob was alive. Joseph was alive. And of course, in the end, that was a lovely ending because it gave Jacob hope. Have hope tonight. It's not over. Your life isn't over. Have hope tonight. So we see that in verse number 35. Jacob says, I'll never be the same. I'll go to my grave because of the loss of my son. Let some of us tonight dust ourselves off, rise up and take new courage, go the extra mile and trust God for the impossible. Life is not over for you tonight, nor is it for me. So we see that there. Has there ever been someone in your life? Listen. Has there ever been someone in your life that you loved, and the devil says their life is over? They will never be anybody, never succeed in life, never amount to anything. They're going to be gone and maybe end up dead. There may be someone here tonight that is praying for a lost loved one Or maybe someone here tonight praying for a child of yours that has been saved, but that's away from God. Maybe you have a friend that's following the cross from a distance, from afar, and the devil's told you your child will never come back. They will never get saved. Your loved one will be in hell. The devil plays off these circumstances. Again, Jacob felt as though Joseph was dead, and he was not. This should give us hope for those that we pray for. Those that we're asking God to save, and those that we're asking God to bring back to the fold. Let us have hope and keep praying for those who are following from afar. What about a dream you have? The devil says it's dead. What about a place or a thing you invested in, and the devil says it's over? You're going to lose it. These are the bloody coats that we see in life at times. The devil is all behind it. Let me mention one more thing. We see one loved individual, one lie that was terrible. But lastly tonight, we see one lovely ending. One lovely ending. Now, Joseph survived the pit. He fought through slavery, continued in Potiphar's house. He endured the lie of Potiphar's wife. She wanted to lie with him. He didn't want to lie with her. He tried to escape and left his garment in her hands as he ran. She was grabbing onto him and he ran out of his garment. And so he went through all of that. He was jailed. And he stayed in jail for 2 years. But there came a day when he was called out of jail to interpret a dream that Pharaoh had. And we know that Pharaoh at this particular time promoted Jacob from the prison to the palace. Joseph was promoted from the pit, from the prison to the palace. Genesis 41, verse number 41. Listen to this. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." And so Joseph is made ruler over Egypt. All the while, Jacob is thinking he was dead. But in the backdrop, in the details, Joseph was going from the pit and then sold into slavery and then the palace and all of those at Potiphar's house and the lies of his wife in prison. There was a lot going on behind the scenes that Jacob didn't know about. So they reunite finally in the end before Jacob dies. Genesis 46, verse number 29 and 30. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel his father to Goshen and presented himself unto him. And he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said unto Joseph, "Now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because that thou art yet alive." What a lovely ending that Jacob is reunited with his son. The thing that he thought was over and done with pretty much his whole life was actually ended with a happy ending. Joseph revealed himself. And so we see tonight that this was a lovely ending, a lasting ending, a wonderful ending. We see these bloody coats in life and we sink in despair. We plan for funerals for our dreams. But could it be tonight that while the devil is lying to us and we're mourning over things and we're viewing these bloody coats and choosing to believe that it's over, dreams are over, someone's not coming back to the Lord, our relative will never get saved. Could it be that during these times that God is working out in the background something great? think so. I think God is working out something in the background great. Again, Jacob was mourning the loss, something that he knew for sure had been done, son killed, but in the backdrop of life, in the background, Joseph was going through the different stages. You're here tonight, and there are some things, some lies of the devil you've chose to believe. But I want to ask you, could it be that in the background, while you're struggling to hang on to that thing, to believe God for the impossible, could it be that God is doing his greatest work behind the scenes the same way that God was with Joseph? Could it be? I think so. The conclusion of the message is this. Don't believe the bloody coats. Get grounded in God's word. Start a consistent prayer life. But even then, the battles are hot. Listen, there's times in life where seemingly God contradicts himself. I say it often, and I say it again. God promised Abraham a promised seed. And then the seed came. And then God said, I want you to take Isaac, top of one of the mountains I'll tell you of, and offer him there for a burnt offering. God, you said you'll give me a son. Now you want to take him. Sometimes in life, God seemingly contradicts himself. And don't you know that's when Satan steps in and says, see, I told you God would not keep his promise. He's asking you to do something that he promised you that he would take care of. God doesn't contradict himself. It's just the devil tonight, and we're not going to mention his name anymore. He don't deserve any credit. But he certainly plays in those moments. Believe God tonight. We got a Bible that's full of promises. Not one of his good promises have failed, and he hasn't failed a promise, and he will not start failing at his promises. And tonight, as we all stand to our feet, whatever you may be going through, choose to take God at his word. If he's given you a word, if he's given you a dream, if he has given you a desire to push, keep pushing, keep dreaming, keep hoping, because you're alive and there's still hope. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you. If there's someone here that needs to come pray and do business with you, I pray tonight will be the night. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving in our heart. Amen. As we sing, if you need to come, come on the first verse.